This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. 20 years ago, Betsy Lehman, a Boston Globe health reporter, was battling breast cancer when doctors at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute made a mistake with her treatment. They gave her four times the intended dose of a powerful chemotherapy drug over a four-day period. Betsy was close to being discharged, but she suddenly died. She was just 39. What happened to her is not uncommon. According to a new study released today, one in four adults report that they or someone close to them experienced a mistake in their medical care in the last 5 years. The study was commissioned by the Betsy Lehman Center for Patient Safety and Medical Error Reduction, a state agency named for the late Boston Globe reporter. Richard Knox covered the story of Betsy Lehman's death 20 years ago when he was a reporter for the Globe. He's also a former health reporter for NPR and a contributor to WBUR's Common Health blog, and he's with us now. Richard Knox, good to have you.
Yes, I'm happy to be here.
Tell us more about Betsy Lehman's story. What happened in her case?
Well, in her mid-late 30s, Betsy developed breast cancer and was treated for it, and it recurred. And since she had two little girls at the time, one of whom was diabetic, she was very eager to get the very best possible treatment, and she and her husband, who was and is a staff scientist at Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, did a lot of interviewing people around the country and decided to go for a stem cell transplant, which is not done so much now for breast cancer, but was experimental then. So she had this risky procedure that involves giving high doses of chemotherapy in the hope that it will knock out the breast cancer cells. And the unfortunate side effect is it also knocks out the immune system. So it's really rough treatment, highly toxic, risky. She got through it and was about to be discharged and go home and looking forward to celebrating Hanukkah with her family, and she suddenly died. It wasn't until some weeks later that we found out from Betsy's husband that she had suffered from a massive chemotherapy overdose. As I said, the chemotherapy doses in this experimental treatment were high, but she got four times the very high dose over 4 days.
Right, so this is already an incredibly toxic treatment, so four times that. Did the doctors at Dana-Farber admit to the mistake right away? How did that work out?
Well, once they discovered it, they certainly did acknowledge what had happened. It also occurred to another lady, a 55-year-old teacher from North Andover, who didn't die immediately. She had terrible heart damage and ended up dying a couple of years later from cancer. Mm.
So how, in this particular case, how does a mistake like this happen?
We spent most of 1995, we at the Globe, trying to figure that out, both how it had happened at this esteemed place, one of the very best cancer hospitals in the country, and then beyond that, how does it happen in other places, how often, and what sets it up. And we discovered that it was a series of systemic problems. For instance, when the overdose order was written by an oncology fellow, he misunderstood the page that listed the dosage. Later investigation concluded that this was ambiguously written. And there was no system at that time in the pharmacy to flag an erroneous dosage.
I see.
So that's one thing. There were other things that we discovered about lack of training. They run so many different experimental protocols at that place, so the staff needs to be constantly trained in order to recognize what's proper and what's not proper. And on and on. I mean, I think it was a systemic issue, and I think Dana-Farber acknowledged that there were systemic problems, not just individual error.
Now, her death led to big changes at hospitals across the country. What changes did Dana-Farber and other hospitals make following Betsy Lehman's death to minimize the possibility that similar deaths happen again?
Well, the Dana-Farber dug in and I think is widely recognized as having done a lot to try to minimize these things. They did install a computer system in their pharmacy that does flag out of ordinary dosages. There's more training now of nurses, of pharmacists, of other people. There is a new culture of patient safety, as the experts call it, that I'm told does permeate Dana-Farber and a lot of other hospitals. But as a study that was released this morning at the Betsy Lehman Center conference indicates that there's still a lot of hospitals that are not yet on board and taking it as seriously as they might.
And is that the reason? Because, yeah, this study shows that errors are still fairly common. What explains that? Is it that hospitals still, 20 years later, haven't really taken this problem seriously?
That's certainly part of it. There's a bunch of possible reasons why the medical errors have not gone away and maybe have even increased over the past 20 years. I mean, medical care gets more and more complicated. There's more and more pressure to increase productivity or throughput of patients, as they say. So there's everybody's more rushed. There are resistant bacteria that can cause terrible and difficult to treat infections. There's overuse and misuse of medications. You know, there's just a lot of things. It's a complicated enterprise, and all of these together may be responsible for why the problem is still with us.
This poll that came out today from the Betsy Lehman Center for Patient Safety and Medical Error Reduction, how does it compare with previous studies of medical errors?
It's a pretty arresting number, and it translates to more than a million people, adults in Massachusetts, who say that they or someone they were close to did suffer medical error in the previous 5 years, and that half of those were serious. I talked to Barbara Fain, who's the executive director of the Betsy Lehman Center, about that, and she had this to say.
It almost seems kind of unbelievable. But then when you talk to people, it seems like everyone has a story, whether it's themselves, a family member.
And Barbara told me that it does comport with other recent studies from different sources, different states, different methods that do kind of converge on that 1 in 4 figure or somewhere in the same ballpark. The Inspector General of Health and Human Services federally in 2011 said that 27% of Medicare patients suffer injury during a hospital stay, and half of them caused permanent harm and death. That's pretty close to what this recent survey of self-reported medical errors and a recent Massachusetts study of hospital patients found, the same 1 in 4 incidents of medical errors.
This all seems to add up to a really sort of troubling picture about what's been done to reduce medical errors over the years. Is that a fair conclusion?
Yes, I think people in the field are frustrated and disappointed that more progress hasn't been made in the last 20 years. You know, they appreciate that it's more difficult than they thought it would be. And also, there's a lot of medical error that doesn't ever get reported.
Now, why is that?
That's a good question. I think there's a natural tendency not to want to report errors. Mm-hmm. In Massachusetts, there's a law that's several years old now that requires hospitals to report one of 29 different kinds of what they call never events. These are things that should never happen. Things like leaving a surgical sponge or an instrument in the patient after surgery. There were 753 of these reports in the most recent year, and the experts say that's just way too low. Can't be right. So there's a lot of reporting or underreporting of these things at every level, which makes it difficult to know how much there is and what kind, and therefore what to do about it.
Mm. Do patient advocates and doctors believe that it's possible to completely eradicate medical mistakes, or what's their goal here?
Well, the event this morning at the Kennedy Library sets a lofty goal, which is there should be zero medical errors. On the other hand, people do make mistakes, but there's been a change in thinking about errors over the past 20 years. It used to be thought that these were problems of bad behavior, incompetence, you know, errors by individuals. That's really changed, and I think the Betsy Lehman case at the Dana-Farber did a lot to help change that thinking. Now there's a view as to what in the system goes wrong that sets errors up to happen, just as in flying an airplane. And I think that the goal here is, you know, it's not like the medical error problem is ever solved. There has to be constant vigilance.
All right. Well, that's Richard Knox. He's a former healthcare reporter for NPR and the Boston Globe. He covered the death of Betsy Lehman 20 years ago, the result of a medical error. You can find a link to Richard's Common Health post on our website, radioboston.org. And Richard, thank you so much for coming in.
You're very welcome.